Hey, this is Beth from the Gunblog Variety Cast, reminding y'all that this podcast is a member of the Self-Defense Radio Network. Check out all the other great podcasts at selfdefenseradio.net.
You're listening to the Renzo Republic.
Gentlemen, welcome back to the one, the only Remso Republic podcast. I'm broadcasting to you from the one and only Commonwealth of Virginia, coast to coast, every Wednesday and Saturday. Welcome back, old and new alike. For the guys I've been hanging on, you know, the diehards, the ones that gotta get that episode in, I love you. You guys make life worth living. And for everyone new that's coming in, I just want to bring you on to speed with just one thing. Just bring you up to speed on this one little thing. We've got one mission here. It's very simple, kind of tacky, ultra cheesy, but it's only a partial knockoff because it's true and it gets straight to the point. We've got one mission here, especially for season three of the podcast. We are trying to make, and say it with me if you know it, we're trying to make freedom fun again. Or as Matthew McConaughey would say, all right, all right, all right. Yeah, we're trying to make freedom fun again. Economic liberty, personal liberty, everything that says you own you, you run your life as long as you don't hurt people and don't take their stuff. Easy stuff. Anyone can do it. Even a Bernie Sanders supporter. Wait, no. No, I take that back. They burned down places like Berkeley. Anyway, welcome. We've got another fantastic episode for you guys. I kind of want to, you know, I don't like to split hairs when it comes to things that people don't really care about. I want to have lighthearted conversations. But every once in a while, we've got to jump on to something that, you know, is either, you know, boggling my mind or is something I'm hearing a lot about, because sometimes you've got to confront these things, because while this episode might not pertain to some, for a lot of you that listen, because you're active in your community, you're active in, you know, engaging the culture in some way, this does pertain to you. Because as I've said since we've, you know, started the very first time, this is about engaging in the world around you. And, you know, politics is a big thing about that. I absolutely hate it. Believe it or not, I actually really do hate politics. I wish I could do anything else other than that. But I had to take an interest in my government because, sadly, my government was taking an interest in me, and that's never necessarily a good thing. Get groped and have your stuff taken by the TSA several times and then have to go call your Democrat senator to get your stuff back, and you'll understand why that bothers me so much. But for a while, I've been, I don't like to bring down the mood, but for the past couple weeks, months, I've been getting, you know, I've been getting hit by some pretty mean people. And I don't like to give attention to losers, but it's about time I address it. Remso, why are you wearing a Trump hat? Remso, why are you saying nice things about the Republican Party? Remso, why do you have a sponsor which is, you know, of this political leaning? Remso, why do you sound different than a year ago? And well, guys, it's because I'm a different person. I'm wrong about things. I'm right about things. I can change my mind. The thing I like about a podcast is you can go back and you could listen, you know, to an episode from a year ago, and I might be disagreeing with myself now on a certain situation. But the most controversial thing I did, which got me a stink eye from a lot of people, was that around December of 2016, I became a Republican. I know for some of you, that sounds like I just joined the Crips or the Bloods or both. Honestly, I'm more of a gold guy, maybe Latin Kings, whatever, you know, floats your boat. But I did that because honestly, I like to make an impact. I see that the people that I've been working with are liberty-minded and they're trying to take over the Republican Party for a new generation. And ultimately, I don't care who you are, what your creed is, you know, what you want to do, how far you want to go. If you're going on the Liberty bus with me and you want to go 5 miles, I'll go with you that 5 miles because ultimately I want to get there 10. And once we hit that 5 mile mark, I'll get off. But when it comes to being a Republican, it's as difficult as it was with any other party. But I kind of want to talk about that. What does it really mean when you're part of a political party? You know, is it complete loyalty? Is it just half loyalty? What is it? Are you going to get, you know, snuffed out like MS-13 or something? Who knows? But I want to bring on someone that's, you know, been around the bush a little bit longer than I have, way more active in party politics than I have. He's one of my friends from Liberty University. He's the current chairman of the Liberty University College Republicans. Ladies and gentlemen, John Wesley Wood. John, welcome to the program, man.
Hey, thanks for having me, Remzo.
So I've got to ask, and you know, maybe this is just more of a me question, but John, can a libertarian be part of the Republican Party?
Absolutely. I think that, and this is my personal opinion. I think that the Republican Party as a whole is at its strongest when you have maybe the people that would identify as a libertarian, and you have your social conservatives, and you have, you know, what people may want to call the establishment, if you will. All three of these are they balance each other out, and I think that the Republican Party is at its strongest when you have all three of those parts, honestly, providing in a way a type of checks and balance on each other. You know what I mean? I think that when what you see, like with the Democrat Party now, is you have one ideology that has just taken over one faction, if you will, of the Democrat Party that has taken over and is now pulling the entire party to really a minority segment of the party. Absolutely. I would love to see more libertarians, joining the Republican Party and helping to balance out, issues that that the Republican Party hasn't performed well on, especially recently. So, absolutely.
Yeah, because that's been something that has gotten me a lot of crap lately. Because, honestly, I'm at the point in my life, and maybe it's because I've taken too many hits to the head, John, that I just don't want to argue with people. And, right. You know, everyone wants to pull you on one thing. It's either, oh, libertarians should join the Republican Party and try and get elected, or they should focus all their time on the Libertarian Party. And, you know, my honest answer is this. I don't care what you do, because I think I'd rather you do something. Yeah, I mean, is that a fair answer?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Like you said in your opening bit, I think that the coolest part, and I think one of the unique things about the Republican Party is that we don't, we have the party platform. We have in Virginia, we have the Virginia Republican Creed, and these are a set of fundamental principles that we all agree on. However, we have arguments over, your day-to-day, does this bill actually accomplish this end, yes or no? To what degree do we carry some of these out? And those are all I think, legitimate arguments and discussions that we should have within the Republican Party. I don't think the Republican Party should ever become the party of like we have on, for the Democrats, right, where we had the mayor candidate in Wichita who said that he was, pro-life in a lot of ways, and the DNC chair came out and said, we don't have any room, there's no place in the Democrat Party for pro-lifers, if you will. That's the gist of what he was saying. And so I don't think that we should ever get to a point where we're not willing to work with each other, as far as, like you said, if someone's trying to go 10 miles and someone's going to go 5, we'll go with them for that 5 miles, and then we'll have robust discussions and debate within the party for that last 5 miles,
Exactly, because, just reflecting back on 2016, you and I were both very, very loud and proud Ted Cruz guys, right?
Yeah, I started out, I'm always honest, I started out Scott Walker. I remember voting for Scott Walker in the CPAC straw poll in 2015. Boy, that was a long time ago.
I feel but, old now.
I know. And then the progression went Scott Walker, and then I was with Cruz all the way through the end, all the way, to the nomination, the convention.
Yeah, and ultimately you ended up voting for Trump. I ended up voting for Evan McMullen, who turned out to be the world's biggest scam artist. But I'll admit it. I'll admit when I'm wrong. It's like, now it's even these days. One of the reasons why I feel okay being a Republican, I'll never feel great being anything when you tie yourself to any party. I never felt great being part of the Libertarian Party, but I feel okay being a Republican. One thing I'm proud to be wrong about is the fact that Trump has actually done, I'll say, a very good job. I have really very minimal gripes and complaints of the Trump administration. When it came to Judge Neil Gorsuch, when it came to the awesome cabinet picks he had, from Rick Perry to Scott Pruitt to all these fantastic people, Ben Carson, he's gone in an amazing direction. I mean, who can argue with James Mattis as SecDef? I mean, that alone, how could you argue with that? But it seems that I'm never going to make people happy. Not that that's my job, but I remember, I was too conservative for the Libertarian Party. I was way too libertarian for the Republicans for a while. And it seems that even now I'm still trying to find, you know, my Republican identity to an extent, because I feel that the Republican Party is in the midst of an identity crisis. And I messed up on the timer. John, we got hit our first commercial break. Folks, hang on tight. We'll be back in a minute.
Let's make freedom fun again. Join the Rimso Republic on Patreon today.
Hey, that's really good.
Take the show on the go by subscribing to the Rimso Republic on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, TuneIn, Google Play, and YouTube. Don't be left out.
It's time to shake up your podcast feed, folks, by subscribing to Lions of Liberty, the only libertarian variety show out there. Spend Mondays with me, Mark Clare, as I feature in-depth interviews with great names in the libertarian community and fun roundtable discussions.
Electric Liberty Land with me, Brian McWilliams, every Wednesday, your weekly dose of comedy, culture, and liberty.
And Felony Fridays with me, John Odermatt, where I expose injustice in the broken criminal justice system.
Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, and at lionsofliberty.com.
Make sure to visit libertarianwingmedia.com, where you can find articles written by libertarians all over the world on all of today's issues. Check out our podcast network with monthly and weekly podcasts. Check out our libertarian t-shirt store with t-shirts like Make Markets Free Again and Make Markets Not War. And you too can become an author at Libertarian Wing Media and write what you want, when you want. Just email alexmerced@alexmerced.com. Thank you very much.
Welcome back. Sorry, I did not pay attention to that thing. Should have let John talk there. But anyway, you know, I'm having a hard time finding my identity within the Republican Party because I'm seeing people that were, you know, I'll just call them out. They were Obama supporters. They voted for Trump. And now they're speaking and setting the conservative agenda at CPAC, basically saying you could be a progressive and be a Republican. And that really bothers me because we're not necessarily talking blue dog Democrats. We're talking people that like the idea of massive government spending, massive government intrusion, massive government breaks of our Constitution. John, I don't necessarily know if I like a Republican Party with progressives. Are we that big tent? And I'm just learning this. You know, I'm just trying to ask this genuinely. I don't have a loaded question here. Yeah, is the Republican Party so big that it's okay to bring in progressives?
And I would say no. I mean, like I said, we do have things like the Republican Creed, right? The Republican Creed, one of our planks is, I'll read it, I got it up for you, the fiscal responsibility and budgetary restraints must be exercised at all levels of government. And so I think that, if you have somebody coming in and saying, I'm a Republican, but I'm a big government, big spending, let's expand programs type of a Republican, then no, that's not a genuine Republican, and we should call those kind of people out. I think that and like I said, that's why we have our basic planks, right? The basic principles that we all agree on, and it's simply a matter of degree sometimes between the different factions of you, if you will, of the Republican Party. But no. You know, somebody coming in and saying, I want to, you know, increase spending dramatically. I want to, you know, increase these programs or whatever and not fund them appropriately or cut spending elsewhere or have some kind of, you know, fiscally conservative, responsible solution, then no, they're not Republican. And that's not a Republican, you know, plan. That's not a Republican person who we should be supporting. That's my opinion.
No, I completely agree. Yeah. And that kind of brings me to my next point. I feel kind of stupid when I watch the news and I hear the media talking about the conservative wing of the Republican Party.
Yeah.
And it's like, if your representative is not part of the conservative wing of the Republican Party, why are they even part of the Republican Party? Because a common gripe I hear is, oh, because Congressman or Senator X did this and that person happens to be a Republican, the Republican Party has failed because you have Senator or Congressman X. And you hear that
all the time. Is it really that big of a deal, or am I just, you know, splitting hairs here?
No, I think it's fair. I think that sometimes we get caught up on, and that obviously there's some issues that are, you know, the way you vote on one single bill matters. You know, obviously, like with the Obamacare repeal vote, that's a pretty clear Republican line vote. But I think that a lot of our elected officials, they'll get framed, if you will, by a single vote. And so I'd like to, you know, try to be honest in my evaluation of our elected officials. And that's why we have great things like, you know, like the Liberty scores, right? We have rating systems that account for a large cross section of our elected officials' vote, you know, voting record. And so I think that, but that's how we should be evaluating them.
Yeah, I agree once again. I mean, my favorite senator in the Senate is Ted Cruz.
Yeah.
And I was so incredibly shocked and disappointed when Ted Cruz voted to sell guns and weapons to Saudi Arabia. Yeah. But because of that one thing, it didn't make me stop supporting Ted Cruz. But, right. You know, I like the old Reagan quote. My 80% friend is not my 20% enemy.
Exactly.
And I'm trying really, really hard because, John, you know me, bud. I used to try and pick every little fight possible. And I'm trying to get over that. But, you know, when do we draw the line? Because, you know, I'm glad you brought up the Liberty score. According to Conservative Review, Paul Ryan has an F. John McCain, Lindsey Graham have an F. Ooh, Congresswoman Martha Roby has like a 2%. I mean, where do we draw the line when it comes to these things?
Right. And I think
is
that
a C okay? Or is it a D?
Right.
Because I think I could take a B at minimum. Yeah. Though in college I settled for C's, but that's a different thing.
I hear you. And there's a I'm with you. And those kinds of ratings, you know, we're gonna have to take a look at people and hold them accountable. I think that one of the arguments that's made, you know, and it has its points as well. And I'll be honest, it certainly has validity to it. There's also a group that, you know, is going to be in the camp that says we should once we get a Republican in, it's better to have a Republican in rather than a Democrat who we know is going to vote against us 100% of the time. But no, I'm with you, and I think that and that's the beauty, and for Congress for sure, for members of Congress, that's the beauty of that is that's up to the people in their district, you know. And for you and I here in Virginia, in central southern Virginia, what we're gonna, you know, what we're gonna say is acceptable. Honestly, it may be different in other parts of the country, and that's part of what I was talking. Part of what I was talking about is, we don't have a line by line policy in the Republican Party of adherence to whatever the party line is.
Do you think that's a good thing or a bad thing? Because I could see the pros and cons in both. Yeah, no, but you know, having been a former libertarian, I suddenly understand the need for a little bit of centralization.
Absolutely. I mean, that's why. And if you know, you go into the Republican platform, the party platform. That's, you know, that gives it expands a little bit more than just like the Republican Creed of Virginia does. You know, perhaps. But no, I think that there is a line that we have to. You know, and it's going to be something that's going to be up for discussion, right? Where's the line between allowing for, you know, open discussion and maybe a variation of ideas, and then also having some strict adherence to certain party lines, but then you run the risk of becoming, like I said, like the Democrats, where you aren't allowed to even have a different opinion, you know. And I'm not saying, like, I mean, it's something that I'm trying to figure out as well. You know, where do we draw that line at? You know, how do we determine what particular votes are going to be considered our party line votes, the non-negotiables, and which ones are we going to say, hey, you know, this one maybe is what may be good for one person's district, maybe bad for another person's, and let them vote that way. Because I mean, I do think, and that's what I'm saying. I don't think there's any great, perfect answer that could be, you know, stated, you know, clearly, succinctly. Because there's a balance, right? There's also a balance between, like, what's good for your district. You're ultimately elected as a, you know, member of Congress, a congressman or congresswoman. to represent your district as a senator. You're there ultimately represent your state's best interest. So I don't know. It is a balancing act, and it's something I think I'm with. I will at least agree with you on this, is that the Republican Party, certainly we need to have some honest conversations with each other about, you know, how are we going to determine the answers to those questions.
Definitely. Folks, yeah. We got to hit our final commercial break. Hang on tight. You're listening to the Remso Republic with John Wood. Hang on tight. We'll be back in a moment.
Hey, it's Jen Gray with the Leading Liberty Podcast, and you're listening to Remso Republic.
Visit RemsoRepublic.com for all available content.
Hey guys, Tim Preuss here, and I wanted to take a minute and invite you to stop over to PreussPodcast.com and give our show a listen. We've got in-depth commentary on the issues that matter to you.
These hookers. Fucking whores are out there.
These hookers, man, I tell you.
Yeah, that's like the most contact I've had with a hooker.
Yelling
at me at Twitter.
We break down the most pressing issues of our time.
This what? Large lady with, like, tight clothing on. Not appropriately linked tight clothing either.
And we get the most intelligent analysis from friends of ours like Jeffrey Tucker.
We pulled over engine trouble and what happened? I don't know.
Seriously though, we love putting on a show that both entertains and educates. We're growing and we'd be thrilled if you joined us. Check out PreussPodcast.com for more. That's PreussPodcast.com.
Make sure to subscribe to all the podcasts on the Libertarian Wing Media Podcast Network on Google Play, iTunes, and Stitcher, such as the Alex Merced Cast, with interesting interviews with interesting people every week. Breaking Progressives, spending time every week breaking down left-wing narratives and showing what's real and what's fake. Economics Why Not, a weekly look at economics and applying economic principles to daily life. Better Today, a weekly podcast where we take a look on ways to improve your life and be better today. Libertarian Commons is a podcast where we play audio from the video archives of Alex Merced from his videos dating back to 2008. Liberty Public Access, a podcast where anyone can submit an episode. Submit your episodes to Alex Merced at alexmerced.com. Have you been wanting to start your own podcast? Then subscribe to Podcasts and Logging Tips and Tricks, a weekly podcast about how to host your podcast, how to produce your podcast, and how to market your podcast. We'll be adding some monthly podcasts to the lineup soon, including Make Markets Free Again, a monthly look at what's going on in markets and regulation all over the world, and the Free VST podcast, looking at free VST instruments for electronic music producers. Listen to these podcasts by going to LibertarianWingMedia.com or subscribing on iTunes, Stitcher, or Google Play. And if you enjoy the podcast, tell your friends and leave a positive review on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play.
Folks, welcome back to the program. We're going to go ahead and wrap things up. We've got about 10 minutes left with John. So, we agree our 80% friend is not our 20% enemy. You've got to make concessions somewhere, because at the end of the day, you could be the most conservative person out there, the most libertarian person out there, but you've got to, you know, give a little to your constituency, because at the same time, you're a representative. And, in terms of just party loyalty, that's another thing that kind of freaks people out, because, you know, I remember back in 2013, my friend Robert Sarvis was running for governor as a libertarian. Now, back then, I was not a Republican. So just full disclosure, I was not a Republican back in 2013. But I remember several members of the Republican Liberty Caucus of Virginia, who were part of their local Republican Party affiliates, they openly said, we're not going to vote for Ken Cuccinelli. We're going to vote for Rob Sarvis. They both said, because we need to be fair, we will not be participating in voting and stuff like that in terms of, you know, affiliate matters until after the thing is over. And what ended up happening was after, you know, right before the election, as soon as they put out that statement, they got kicked out. And, you know, I'll be completely honest. I want to vote Republican, but at the end of the day, I don't have to vote Republican. So if someone's not willing to vote Republican all the time, every time, should they stay Republicans?
I would say absolutely. Listen, I mean, every person, everybody's got to make up their mind eventually about whether the person that they're being asked to vote for or not being asked to vote for, but the Republican on the ballot, you know, represents what they believe the Republican Party should be doing. And so I don't think that in terms of, right, we're talking about
people. I really hope this question does not get you in trouble.
not at all. Listen, I mean, like, just like this, and there's, I think sometimes we get caught up in trying to lump everybody's roles together. So like full disclosure, right? College Republicans, at least at Liberty, we make a pledge where we're going to support the Republican nominee for every position, every ballot spot's going to be on the ballot in Lynchburg, right? And so, but that's because of the role that we play.
And that makes sense, though. And I mean, just going back to 2016, I was on the side of the Republican Party when college Republican chapters that endorsed Gary Johnson lost their recognition and funding.
Yeah.
Because if you're not going to do that and you're a college or high school chapter, you don't deserve the funding. It's just part of how it is. That's why I side with the Republicans then.
Right. Well, like, and we had leadership in the club that just kind of it respectfully stepped down because they didn't want to be a part of they just didn't feel like they were comfortable supporting the nominee now President Trump, and that's fine. And I will never, like, for me, I'm not gonna attack somebody for making those kinds of decisions honestly and thoughtfully, because you still have to be comfortable checking the ballot box, right? And we can make all the passionate cases we want. What we have to avoid is a lot of the negative language that comes out of that, right? If somebody says, well, you know, I'm not going to vote for the person that we call a traitor, right? Or vice versa, right? There was a lot of that. And let's be honest, I had a lot of people who were very far libertarian leaning who were saying that because I voted for Trump that I was betraying liberty and that I was voting, and basically I got from them a lot of the same arguments that was coming.
No one has the right to say that to you.
No. That's all I'm saying. I think that with party loyalty, it depends on where you're at in your life, and I think that at the end of the day you have to be comfortable checking the box, but be honest about it, weigh the alternatives. That's what I always tell people. I mean, honestly, I told people who were less than enthusiastic about voting for Trump because of character issues, the tape that came out, all that kind of stuff. I said, I mean, I get that, but just take a couple of core issues and focus on those. And can you work around those things? And I don't know, party loyalty for me, like, obviously, like, I'm a CR chair, and so my job is to support the Republican nominees, and I always will. And I don't say that just because on paper I will. Like, I wholeheartedly believe that, my opinion is that I'm going to do everything I can to get our Republican nominees elected. And then if there's an issue with them, I'm willing to go back later and work on that with them. That was one of the things that I think you and I can agree on for sure is with Trump, is that areas that maybe we felt he was lacking in terms of his, we felt maybe he wasn't a fully warped conservative in some areas. He listened to the people around him who said, you need to get good advice around you. And that's what we saw in the building of his cabinet and in putting Gorsuch on the court, is that, well, and I can accept that, right? I can say I'm comfortable telling people, like, maybe he isn't in some areas. I know if trade is probably one of those areas that I think that he himself may have maybe a little more protectionist tendencies. But he's got people around him. He's getting good advice from people who are free traders, who are, and he's able to put together, in my opinion, some good fair policies and balanced policy. We kind of got off on a rabbit hole on that. But when it comes to party loyalty, I think that people just people need to weigh in the alternative, and then also just feel comfortable at the end of the day of who they're voting for.
Exactly, and even when it just comes to language, I mean, something that I've learned, and you know, just not just working on individual campaigns, but having to work with the local, regional, and state party, is that a lot of these people that you might be trash talking now, you might need their help at some point. And even then, you might have to begrudgingly work with them. Because I'll openly admit, I've gone after some people. I was mean to some people because I felt like I had, you know, I call it the liberal righteous indignation. I had, well, the Remsa Martinez righteous indignation. Not saying it was right, but it's how I was at the time. And what do you know? We're arguing, bickering, being mean to each other now. And not even several months later, I have to, you know, be a big boy and go over and ask this person who probably hates my guts, hey, I need your help. Will you help me?
Right.
And you have to hopefully get that person to work with you. And they might not like you. I mean, one of the biggest lessons I've learned is people will not like you, but if they can work with you, they can respect you and they'll remember that. And I think that's what keeps parties alive for the most part. That's why I don't think the Libertarian Party is ever successful, because people don't understand that thing. It's, I need to die on every hill in every battle. No, I've got to give and take. And ultimately, you know, if you want to go 5 miles and I'm going 10, I'll go with you on that bus to 5 miles.
Right. Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Don't be the person that obstructs 5 miles worth of progress because you're not really – you know, you don't like the end of the line at 10 miles. You know what I mean? It's a good analogy. It really is. And I know it's hard because people also make the argument that, well, you know, once we get that train rolling, how do we stop that? And that's all.
I'll worry about that once we get there. You know, we're not even there.
Well, Remzo, you remember like Remzo came with us. He was up there for CPAC and we got a chance to talk to Matt Bevin. And I actually appreciated that question, Remzo, that you asked him. You had some doubts about Ed Gillespie, and you asked, hey, you know, Matt, Governor Bevin, I respect you a lot as a conservative governor, but I'm confused as to why you're supporting Ed Gillespie, who I don't think really is all that conservative. And I really liked his answer. And he said, you know, well, he's moving the needle back in the right direction. I said, you know, in Virginia, we're at a tipping point. And we need somebody in there. And so that's, you know, and that's what we're talking about, right? The five miles in a, you know, versus somebody who's going 10 miles, moving the needle back. I just think that you're right. People will find an issue that they're going to die on. And in the meantime, what's happened is that the Democrats who are unifying, who are, you know, maybe not this year, but in the past have been able to work together as a party as a whole, and have steamrolled right over us, you know, and we've just gotten just rocked, and it's got to stop. We have to start working together and being willing to sit down with somebody who you already know doesn't share all the same ideas as you, but shares the same common principles, and work to the best of your ability to accomplish as much as possible. You know,
Very true.
We just can't afford in Virginia. We just can't afford anymore to basically play a zero sum game with each other. You know, you have these different factions who are fighting each other, and if they don't get everything, then they're not willing to put to help at all. And we're gonna keep getting steamrolled, and we're gonna you know, we've got an important election this year, and we have to stop, at the very least stop what's coming down the pike, and then work at reversing it and go through line by line, work on policy issues. But we, you know, in Virginia, we've got the next governor's gonna get to redistrict, and that, you know, that has real implications on on our delegates and our state senators. And so you have to look at kind of the bigger picture and you know, work from there.
Exactly. John, we've got to wrap up the show. If people want to get in touch with you, learn more about the LUCRs, how could they do so?
Honestly, best place is our Facebook page. It's going to be College Republicans at Liberty University. And we'd love to have any Liberty students who happen to be listening or you come across it. We've got a really great year coming up, and we'd love to see you all part of it. If you've got any specific requests, you're always free to email me. Am I allowed to give that information out?
Totally. Yeah.
y'all can email me. I'll put it out there. My email's it's jwwood3@liberty.edu. I'm open about stuff. But if you just want to kind of see what we're up to, Facebook page is going to be the best place to do that. And that's, again, that's College Republicans at Liberty University is the Facebook page.
Outstanding. John Wood, thank you so much for coming on, buddy. It's always great talking to you. And, you know, we don't agree on everything, but you and I have done more together to go for liberty in our country than we would have otherwise.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and I value your friendship and your wisdom and everything else. So definitely thank you so much for coming on the program.
Not a problem. Thank you, and likewise to you. You're doing an awesome job, man.
Appreciate it. Folks, we're going to wrap things up. Thank you so much for listening. Hey, we're going to fight. We're going to bicker. But ultimately, let's just agree on this. Agree on this, and we can do anything. The sky's the limit. Let's not use the government to hurt people or take their stuff. If we can agree on that, let's hard charge forward. And as always, you know, go ahead and leave us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, Google Play, and all that jazz. And find everything more you want at www.remsorepublic.com. As always, be good to your neighbor. Go treat yourself. And be good, America. I'm Remso W. Martinez. Good night.
Stay connected to Liberty's Rabble Rouser on Facebook and Twitter to stay up to date with the latest episodes, blogs, and other available content. What are you waiting for?